The Fist of Beauty. So, money's the name of the game now. My game, to be specific. I've checked all the sofas and chairs in the house, and I've come up with an impressive £5.34. So, I was struggling a bit, so I thought, I've called on friends, they might have stuff down the back of the sofas. So I called Tony to arrange to go over to his house. I hadn't been there in about 8 months, because last time I went, it was in the middle of having some building work done, and there was no walls in the bathroom, just a bare exposed toilet. And his wife wouldn't use it. I sat on that landing waiting for about 3 hours. She never had to pizzle. Bitch. But anyway, all the building work's finished now. And him and his wife have decorated it. It looks terrible. There's not a single mushroom shade in the entire house. It's all like bright red and bright blue. It looks like Superman's clothes have been sick everywhere. And one of the worst things is his kitchen's got these modern spotlight things. I love a fluorescent tube, me. I think they're really nice. They illuminate everything. Horrible. Horrible and quirky his house is. Like he says, it's like it reflects his personality. And so I said, yeah, I've always thought you'd been gaudy and unpleasant to look at. Which is one of my best comebacks of the year so far. He patted me on the bald head and told me to go sit on the sofa. So I went and sat on the sofa, and I began a wobbling and a flobbling, and I felt like I was out to sea, and in a way I was, because he's got a water sofa. It's like a water bed, but it's a sofa. After about 8 minutes I sat on that trying to watch Homes Under Hammer, I felt quite seasick. I did my best to check down the back and the sides, but there weren't any gaps where coins could fall, so I abandoned the project. Tony brought me a cup of coffee because we were looking at his new TV. He's got one of them 3D ones. He switched on the 3D feature and we were watching Homes Under the Hammer had finished. I think it was Bargain Hunt. Oh, it was impressive. It was an old one because it had Tim Wannacott in, and he suddenly came near the camera and sort of went, whoa, look at that totty wolf. It's just like he was jumping out of the screen at me. So I spilled my coffee, it went everywhere. Yeah, and I thought his wife was going to scream at me because I think that sofa was new, but she just sort of giggled and said, oh, don't worry about it, you can wipe off any juices off that sofa and they just come straight off. I thought about it for a second. On one hand it's a bit erotic because she's a bit saucy, on the other hand it's Tony. I don't want to think of his man milk dripping down the armrest of that thing. I made my excuses and left. I swear before the year's out I'm going to burst that sofa. Who has a waterbed sofa? Well, just a water sofa. 6th of February! I'm still totally bald. What have I done? What if he never grows back? I asked Dad what I could do to make my hair grow. He just gave me a mucky look and went back to his word search. So today I went with Mum and Dad to the carpet shop. Spent about 2 hours in it. To begin with, I had fun hiding in the rugs that they hang up vertically, but then a member of staff came out and told me to stop messing around. I sort of walked off like a stroppy child and went to see Mum. She was looking at some lino and tutting. She kept looking at it and saying, oh dear, this won't do at all. Then we left the shop with not so much as a how do you do from the sales staff. Absolutely rubbish customer service if you ask me. 7th of February. A sprout! No, not the hideous tiny cabbage based vegetables. A sprout of hair. A tiny clump of 4, in fact. Maybe even 5, I'd go as far as hazarding a guess at. This is the second happiest hair based day I've ever had in my life. Obviously the first being that wonderful day in 1997. When I was 17. Yes, 17. That I grew my first pubic hair. I only ever managed to grow 4 in my life, and they've all fallen out, but I've kept them in a matchbox under my bed, hoping that one day I can put them in a locket for my sexy sweetheart as I probably go off to war or summit, and she's got something sexy to remember me by. 8th of February. Tiny itchy brown shoots of joy springing up all over my bonds now. I showed Dad and he got quite grumpy, but I showed Mum and he said, good for you, sweetheart. I don't think she's ever called me that in my life. I cried a little bit, I was so moved. So touching to have a term of endearment from my mother. 9th of February. Something's amiss. Mum and Dad are acting very peculiar. Or strangely. Or strange, I'm not sure. And I don't, English isn't my forte. Either way, they're being odd. Whenever the phone rings, they're picking up, it's cordless, and they run out of the room and answer it and talk to someone. Normally, they just used to let it go to the answering machine. But, you know, now when they want to be speaking in private, and Mum's on the computer an awful lot. If I was a betting man, and I'm not because I haven't got the financial resources to back up my wildly inaccurate predictions of sporting events, I'd be betting that they're planning something. I've made a list of things I think they might be doing. Number one, an erotic holiday getaway for me. Improbable. An erotic holiday getaway from me. More probable. Arranging a surprise birthday party for me, which would be a surprise given that my birthday is not for another 5 months. Arranging a special radio guest for when we start broadcasting the radio again in March. The only other thing I think is that the spies, or that I'm up for a lifetime achievement in radio, either that or they're both simultaneously having an affair with different people, I assume. But then who would want to be with either of them? Ugh. Or I'm scared that they're trying to arrange driving lessons for me, something they've always threatened me with because they worry about having medical emergencies and needing to get to A&E on time. But there's no way they're going to get a car that's going to fit my fat tummy behind the wheel. Oof. Anyway, I'll let you know, dear diary, about future developments. 10th of February. I've got the most terrible trumps I've ever had. Not only are they only vast in quantity, said Titty, but they're also terribly aromatic. It's a heady mix of landfill, rancid chips, and lockets. That's the throat sweet, not how some necklaces might smell. Because Mum got me a box of 24 packets of lockets from a charity shop. I didn't even think charity shops did second-hand food, but they do. I mean, I don't mean the lockets have been eaten once and then spat out into a bit of paper and then, you know, recycled. Which I imagine old people might do if they get a bit bored of a sugared almond. No, they were new. They're just slightly out of date. Someone bought them all for me. They were lovely. I had 4 packets in one sitting, 1 10-minute sitting. It was when Dad had put the film Inception on. We've tried to watch that film so many times, and we can't get more than half an hour into it. God knows what's going on. Something about dreams, but why aren't they all just suddenly naked or just being bawdy? Or dreaming about doing the washing up with hooves for hands or something. Or having like a little face on the young man that just screams at them every time they try and do a wee. It's baffling. Because that's what happens in dreams. They don't go on some kind of bizarre, confusing... I don't know, I haven't watched the rest of the film, but it don't make sense to me. Anyway, we only watched it because Tony and his wife, Aunt Babs, came round. Apparently they're getting married again. Always seems to be someone, but yeah, they're I don't know what's going on. Oh, my trumps. Oh no, that's not trumps, that's solid. Oh, 11th of February. Yes, you read that right, dear diary. Tony's wedding. Maybe that's what the secret phone conversations are about. I asked Mum and she said it wasn't a wedding but they're renewing their vows. This confused me. If they're already married, what the flying frig is the point in getting married again? That's illegal, isn't it? I thought I was going to sneeze, didn't? Oh, it's a bird. I can't believe they're doing it. And they're idiots anyway. But not as big idiots as the man at the newsagents, right? I popped out this afternoon to get me and Dad some pre-tea crisps. They're having a special on tomato snaps. If I'm reading this in 40 years and they don't make snaps... and I can't remember what they are. They're the crisps with a dragon on the front that I used to have. They're a bit spicy. You can only get them in boys these days. Yeah. I used to get them when I went to play school. I think that's probably why I'm such a big fan of crisps. I was indoctrinated at an early age. Anyway, but when I got to the till, the man in the newsagents asked me for £1.20, but it should be £1 for three bags. It was an offer he'd put on. If I'm reading this in the future, remember when crisps cost 40p a pack? Not like the 20,000 space euros that it probably cost you now, stupid future self. But you've still never seen a vaginal. I asked the newsagent man why he'd stopped doing the offer after 4 days, and he said I was buying too many crisps and he was losing money. But surely he knew if he'd sold a lot of them at that price, he's gonna lose money, isn't he? But then he said people should also browse and buy other stuff, not just go for that one offer. And I said, well, that's the paradigm of the thrifty shopper like myself. He asked me to leave, and so I snorted and walked out, and I knocked over the newspaper stand in my way. It was by accident. My right man bosom just caught it. I think it's subconsciously I was trying to flick over the sun to see if they've brought back page 3 or not. I mean, obviously there's going to be a page 3, but whether there's a busty woman that's going to be gawped at by truck drivers, I don't know. Anyway, I ran away and he came out the shop trying to shout at me. And he did shout at me. That was too far of